In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The impact of this week is never lost on the one who has sincerely participated. As I get older in the priesthood, I find that I'm less sincere because I have service that takes me away, namely confession. And so I'm not sitting and standing and praying in unity and in one accord with you, because a lot of you gang up on me during Holy Week to confess your yearly confession. And so I miss out on certain things. I'm happy for those who confess. And yet, I can tell you that there's a part of me that yearns for the simplicity of just being able to be lifted and carried forward by the prayers of our congregation. Sometimes I don't like to pray, not as leading. I would rather keep my prayer inside. I would rather have God alone hear what I'm saying and not hear the sound of my voice. The person next to me being oblivious to the fact that I'm entertaining anything holy or otherwise. It's a very deep and a meaningful week that our church provides for us at the conclusion of our fasting of 7 weeks. And the meditations, if you enter into them, are remarkable. I'm going to share a story with you. I have a very dear friend. He's married to... Well, this thing stopped. It went black. What's still going? Okay, sorry. I hate these things. That's why I don't have one. I have a very dear friend. He's a doctor, and he helps me. And he married a Russian woman. Russia, before the Tsars, was a series of tribal-like states. And like all tribal states, they were headed by a strong man. And the strong man would encourage a group of those likewise. They would be the soldiers or the protectors. They would be the warriors. And they would hold on to as much territory as they could. And if they thought that somebody who was next to them was weaker than they might decide a raid was in order to take what they had and to add to their number, not only in terms of wives and slaves, but also their lands and therefore the things that agriculture and the landscape itself would afford them, hunting, fishing, things of that nature. But there was one tribe. It's more a fable than anything else, but it's one that's told this time of the year in Russia. And it's about a tribe that had a small territory that was geographically protected. It was in a valley, and it was surrounded by mountains, and on the other side, a deep drop-off and river. And so its borders were not conducive to anybody that would want to raid. Any marauder would have to overcome a severe obstacle just to get to them, and it would be very easy to protect. So for the most part, because they were smaller, they were left alone. But inside, there was a very, very strict environment. They did not tolerate any abuse of any kind. Man upon man upon animal. They did not tolerate any theft. They did not tolerate any violence. And so, after a while, the people became peaceful. Now, how did their intolerance of these things manifest itself? They would take a person who had broken the law, and in the midst of all of the others, and it was mandatory that you came, men, women, children, the old, the very young, you know, no one was excluded. And you would watch the person being stripped down to the waist, whether it's male or female. They would tie them to a tree, and then they would whip them, 10 lashes. But this whip was not an ordinary whip, and no one had ever survived 10 lashes. No one. So the penalty was so harsh, and it was, if you stole an ear of corn, the penalty was 10 lashes. If you beat a man, the penalty was 10 lashes. If you abused an animal, the penalty was 10 lashes. They lived in peace. And so they grew, as all protected environments do. They grew in the arts, and they were a community that was, from the outside, very beautiful to look upon. Their king was very regal, very proud, not just of the heritage that allowed him to ascend to be the lord of this group, but also because of the type of people that he had. He was proud of his people. He knew, having left the confines of that geographically protected area, what other tribes did and how they lived and how they thought prosperity coming by violence aided them. And he hated all those things. But one day, as inevitably it has to come, someone in his community did a shameful act. Someone stole something from another. And the king was parts of anger, parts of brokenheartedness, parts of just disgust. He said, we must find this person. So he set upon the task some of his most trusted confidants to ferret out the one who had stolen. After a while, he inquired, and they said, yes, we have found out. We know who it is who has stolen. And he said, why haven't you told me? He said, I cannot. What do you mean you cannot tell me? I am your ruler. You must tell me. And the man hung his head and looked at the ground. He said, it's your mother. He said, well, you know what we must do. Take her and tie her to the tree. And so they did. They tied her to the tree. And they stripped her to the waist, this old woman, in the midst of everybody. And then the most unusual thing happened. The king took off his clothes, and he went and he put his arms around his mother. And he said, "Now, whip." You see, that's our Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard this many times, through his stripes we are healed. He is the one who was whipped for us instead of us. We belong there. We are the thieves and the murderers and the idolaters. We are the shameful. And he who was without sin stripped himself of all of his dignity that he might do this. I cannot imagine such love. I cannot imagine it. We speak of it, but think about it. Think about that kind of love. Think about it in respect to your own homes when you go home and you look at the people that you say you love. And you say, "I love you." Really? To what extent? To what extent? This is for me, Good Friday. It's the meditation upon this love that surpasses all understanding. Our Lord God and Savior. Glory be to his holy name.